Bonjour, fellow word nerds. It's Mike. I apologize already to any of my French listeners. Bonjour and bon voyage will be pretty much the only French words I speak today. I also apologize for starting off right off the bat with the most stereotypical French music I could find. In all reality, I love French culture. I love French films. And I love the influence that French has had on the English language. In English, we see many words that have derived from French throughout the centuries, of course, but we also sometimes use words and expressions when speaking English that are taken directly from French. Déjà vu comes to mind right away. This term appears in English dictionaries and is taken directly from French, meaning already seen. Déjà vu comes to mind right away. This term appears in English dictionaries and is taken directly from French, meaning already seen. Bon voyage is another. It translates into English as good journey. So why don't we say good journey? Are we trying to sound affectedly worldly and cultured when we say bon voyage? Well, let's get into it. First off, I want to start by saying that the accepted pronunciation in American English from the Oxford Dictionary is bon voyage, the phonetic symbol for the vowel in bon being the same for words like bottle or bomb or box. To all my French listeners out there, when you write in to tell me everything I got wrong today, include a recording, please, of your voice delivering the proper way to say bon voyage, please. But of course, that's nothing new. The fact is, words change in pronunciation all the time when they enter another language's lexicon. The perfect example to bring up here is the word voyage. We'll talk about the word voyage in a little bit, and the reason why we have both the word voyage in English, but also the term bon voyage. First, I'll define what it means in English. It's something you say when you want to share your good wishes to someone who is about to go on a trip. The first recorded use of bon voyage in print that I could find in English dates back to the 17th century. One of the examples from this century that I could find using bon voyage is from Fables of Aesop and Other Eminent Mythologists with Morals and Reflections by Sir Roger Lestrange, printed in 1692. In it, we have the tale of Mercury and a traveler. Let me read it to you. It's pretty short. One that was just entering upon a long journey took up a fancy of putting a trick upon Mercury. He said him a short prayer for the bon voyage with a promise that the god should go half with him in whatever he found. Somebody had lost a bag of dates and almonds, it seems, and it was his fortune to find it. He fell to work upon them immediately, and when he had eaten up the kernels and all that was good of them himself, he laid the stones and the shells upon an altar and desired Mercury to take notice that he had performed his vow. For, says he, here are the outsides of the one and the insides of the other. And there's the moiety I promised ye. The book then goes on to give the moral of the story. Men talk as if they believe in God, but they live as if they thought there were none. For their very prayers are mockeries, and their vows and promises are no more than words, of course, which they never intended to make good. That's quite a message. For those of you unfamiliar, Aesop's fables are credited to a slave and storyteller by the name of Aesop, who is believed to have lived in ancient Greece in the 6th century BCE. Sir Roger Lestrange would not be the first to translate Aesop's stories into English. The popularity of Aesop's fables far predates Lestrange. Another source I found that predates Sir Roger Lestrange's publication is a travel journal of a man named Richard Flecknoe from 1665. Flecknoe had traveled all throughout Europe, Asia, Africa, and even the Americas, and had a lot to say about it. His use of bon voyage is very befitting, as he is writing about his travels in France. and seems to use the term in a way that follows more closely to just the direct translation of bon voyage, good journey, than how we use it now in modern English. Here, I'll just read it to you. By my last from Paris, I had the honor to write unto you. Now this is, if you please, to let you understand that the next I departed thence with the messenger for Lyon, from thence down the Rhone by water to Avignon, and from thence by horse to Marseille. All my journey through France being only a bon voyage, or pleasant journey, in excellent company, with wines that would tempt a Nazareth. Truly riveting stuff. Richard Flecknoe was an English dramatist, poet, and musician who lived from 1600 to 1678, most known for being ridiculed and scorned by his contemporaries. Ouch. The earliest use of bon voyage I was able to track down in English print comes from 1626, the Newfound Politique, disclosing the secret natures and dispositions as well of private persons as of statesmen and courtiers, translated into English with this publication date originally penned by Italian satirist Boccalini. So two early sources being translations and one referring specifically to a good journey through France. It's clear that bon voyage was circulating around in print in the 1600s at the very least. Today, Oxford lists the term as an exclamation. It's something you often shout out. Bon voyage, safe travels. Bon voyage tends to be saved for when someone intends to be gone for a long time on a trip. In fact, one source tells us a trip, especially by ship. I have strong associations as well with this exclamation and seeing a ship off at the port or dock, everyone shouting bon voyage. There's a reason for that, which we'll discuss in the second half of the episode. But we don't say good voyage too often in English. We like to say bon voyage. After the break, we'll talk about whether or not this French phrase fills a word void, and we'll open up the fact cabinet. Stick around. Before the break, I mentioned a term I like to use, word void, when a word or phrase enters a language because it fills in a gap where there was no word before, a specific meaning that is at least slightly different compared to similar, already existing words. I mentioned déjà vu earlier. I can't think of another term in English that describes this phenomenon. It fills a word void, in my opinion. I mentioned déjà vu earlier. I can't think of another term in English that describes this phenomenon. It fills a word void, in my opinion. What about bon voyage? Let's think of other things we can say when saying goodbye to a friend who is about to leave on a trip. You can say, have a safe trip, safe travels, Godspeed. Have a nice trip, see you in the fall. One of my favorites on the playground as a kid. Is there something unique about bon voyage? Perhaps it is the perfect thing to say when seeing someone off at the docks, about to board a ship or boat, because of its related English word voyage, which obviously has a Latin root as well, and is defined as such in English. A long journey involving travel by sea or in space. However, I don't know about you, but when I hear voyage, I think of swashbuckling adventures long, long ago. It sounds rather dramatic and literary. I don't think I'd ever sincerely describe my trips as voyages. Something about bon voyage seems to imply that it's quite a journey ahead. Perhaps if it's not by boat, then it's at least overseas. If my friend tells me they're heading to Missouri from a spot here in Kansas, two neighboring states here in the U.S., I wouldn't tell my friend bon voyage. So it really does have its place. The French to English translation of good journey is certainly more fitting than an attempt to try to translate it as good voyage, as voyage has been shaped over time to have a more specific meaning in English than just a trip or journey. However, it still is more appropriately used when a trip on a grand scale is about to take place. What are your thoughts? Write into the podcast, getthewordpodcast@gmail.com. That's getthewordpodcast@gmail.com. Here's my beloved copy of Aesop's Fables, a book with illustrations from my childhood that I treasure fondly. Aesop's Fables often involved personified animals as the main characters of each fable, which makes the stories perfect for children's picture books. Many of you probably already know that, but I have some lesser-known facts to share about Aesop. First, as I mentioned before, evidence suggests that he was a slave in ancient Greece, more specifically a Phrygian slave. Phrygia was a kingdom in the west-central part of Anatolia, in what is now Turkey. The story goes that Aesop also had physical deformities and perhaps even a speech impediment. A bust of Aesop is now housed within a collection at the Villa Albani in Rome. If you glance at this bust, it is obvious that he suffered from some type of physical deformity. It's also suggested by what has been written about Aesop that he perhaps stuttered as well. It's an interesting potential detail of his life to ponder, considering the fact that he was a storyteller. Another interesting fact about Aesop that seems likely to have happened, he was murdered. It's not entirely clear why he was murdered, but it appears that he was thrown off a cliff following a visit to the religious sanctuary of Delphi, where, story goes, his clever tales and sharp wit wasn't received very well by the local priestess. He was sentenced to death for blasphemy, a sad ending to the life of a man who, according to some scholars, may not have even been the one coming up with all the fables that are now immutably attached to his name. Certain Sumerian proverbs that predate the life of Aesop seem to have similar structures and storylines. However, most scholars do seem to agree that there was a man named Aesop, and several ancient texts mention a man by that name, described as a storyteller. I have an announcement to make. Going forward, the full transcripts of Get the Word and the English sessions will be made available only to my subscribers on Patreon. However, it's very easy to sign up. For only $1 per month, you can become a member of the English Sessions Patreon page. You will have access to the full audio transcripts of episodes, as well as archived material for English learners, including test preparation, interviews, conversations with other learners, and more. It's easy to sign up, and you can cancel anytime. What do you have to lose? It's only $1. Go to patreon.com/theEnglishSessions to sign up today. That's patreon.com/theEnglishSessions. If you have any questions, please email me. getthewordpodcast@gmail.com. Your support means a lot to me. It's what helps me to stay motivated to continue making content. If you like what you hear and you want access to the full audio transcripts, then head on over to patreon.com/theEnglishSessions. Also, don't forget I offer ad-free episodes of Get the Word through Anchor, our podcast host, for less than $1 per month. Show your love and support of all things nerdy. All these links and links to our social media can be found at linktree.com/getTheWord. That's linktree.com/getTheWord. Podcast artwork by Bruno Sanchez. You can find a link to his work in the show notes. Music performed by the Monroeville Music Center. Production, editing, and research performed by me, Mike Butler. Write into the podcast and give us your comment. That email again is getthewordpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Until next time, this is Mike signing off.
Hey there. Do you like movies, cartoons, video games, anime, and everything in between? Then we have a show for you. The Four Nerds by Nerds podcast. Every week, Josh and Ben bring you all the latest and greatest in movie reviews, news, commentaries, interviews, special guests, and tons of bonus episodes. New episodes come out every Monday. We also make great nerdy content on our YouTube channel. You can find our show anywhere podcasts are found. The Four Nerds by Nerds podcast, your one stop for all your nerdy needs. Stay nerdy, my friends.
Welcome to the English Sessions. I am your host and English teacher, Mike Butler. This podcast is for English learners who want to learn English from an experienced educator. I share my passion about language and many awesome topics throughout this podcast. We focus on grammar, pronunciation, structure, and try to have some fun, too. There is something for everyone on the English Sessions podcast. Are you a more advanced English learner or a native English speaker? Then you'll enjoy our series called Get the Word. This series is about etymology, the history and origin of words in English. For example, did you know that the word zombie was originally the name of a West African snake god? Join us if you want to improve your English skills. Join us if you are a grammar and etymology nerd like myself. For an archive of resources and much more, go to EnglishSessionsWithMike.com. The English Sessions with Mike Butler, available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.